audience plus data equals power. We have a fantastic lineup here who's going to really break down the ins and outs of this side of the business. There's a really cool thing to talk about. Of course, moderating today, we have Nicole Pike, Managing Director of Esports at Nielsen. We have Anthony, Director of Global Esports Partnerships at Activision Blizzard. And my friend Nathan Lindberg, Senior Director of Global Sponsorship Sales at Twitch. Let's welcome them to the stage, please.
Anthony Theo Harris, Director of Activision Blizzard Esports. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to doing this with you guys.
Perfect. So basically format of this is I'm going to ask guys a bunch of questions. We'll jump in the middle and look at some data since it is audience plus data equals power, and we'll have a few more questions and leave some time at the end for everybody to ask theirs as well. So started. Two things we'll be talking about throughout the panel today are sponsorship and advertising or media. Obviously, both things that are available for brands to activate in the esports space, as well as broader entertainment, sports, etc. So just to kind of like lay the groundwork for the conversation, I wanted each of you to just speak a little about like when maybe feel a little foundational, but what's the difference between sponsorship and media or advertising in terms of like what you're selling and what's available to the brands who are looking to get into the space?
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit on Monday. From our perspective, sponsorships is the credibility rights, the assets, it's the logo rights, it's the integrations, it's the on-site. And Twitch is very lucky in the fact that we have a lot of great partners that we work with. So a lot of the content that is on our platform, we can provide sponsorship opportunities for. And as I said on Monday, Tuesday, media is kind of the amplification, right? It's the opportunity to drive home the fact that there's an opportunity to be created. We talked a little bit about it in terms of the fact that, when you logo lock up, you sponsor something, the first thing you want to do is tell people about it, right? So I'm up here with my friends, right? That's cool, but now I'm telling all of you that I'm cool because I'm up here with them, right? So the media amplification part, I think, is really important in terms of how we look at these opportunities. And especially with Twitch, there's a kind of a clear divide, right, between what those assets need to be. So if they're third-party track, if they're third-party serve, if they're 30 seconds in length, you know, those are kind of media assets. And then the sponsorship assets are really about that proximity and that kind of relationship building between your brand and the asset you're partnering with.
It's what a brand wants to activate. You know, is it awareness? Is it a longer term relationship with fans? Is it on pack? Is it product on site? So I think just understanding what that that method is the best way to kind of engage. It could be either way.
Perfect. And I think that leads well into the next question I had for you, Nate, which is Twitch. You have the opportunity to sell both media and sponsorship to brands. So when you're going and talking to a brand, is there kind of a one size fits all? You go in and have a package that includes both of those and put it out there? Like, what's the process of really figuring out what's best for them and then ultimately what you offer?
Yeah, if anyone went to the brands panel yesterday, which was extra spicy, I think we all learned that if we want to sell brands, we have to listen. Right? And I think for Twitch, one of the things that we're very fortunate of is we have a lot of assets that we can package up for someone. And so really what it comes down to is actually listening to what they need. And so looking at it holistically, looking at it objectively, and then going to our partners, right? Finding the right partners in the space to say, hey, if you're a brand that wants to have multiple touch points or one big partnership relationship, let's figure out that solution. And it's really, for us, content creators on our platform, whether they're a Dr. Lupo or an Overwatch team, they rely on revenue to be able to work. And so I think we feel a very important responsibility to help bring revenue to all of those different parties. And if we are able to package that up with media and different assets to kind of give someone a holistic solution, that really feels like the right way to do it. And so we are very fortunate in the fact that we can kind of package up deals together in many different ways. We can bring in great partners when there's a really great fit for someone to get that deep relationship of an asset that Twitch doesn't have.
Perfect, which I think leads into my question that I had for Anthony, which is, on the Activision Blizzard side, you guys are selling in sponsorships to some of the biggest names out there, not just in esports. But talking about, taking what they get from an IP standpoint through sponsorships with you, and then allowing them to kind of leverage that in media. Can you talk about with some of your partners, how important is that? Is that something you're seeing more of? And how you guys go about trying to, get people to really make the most out of the sponsorship through media?
Yeah, we're excited. We're really happy with everything that we've accomplished so far. We know we have a lot more work to do. But working with partners, we're excited to continue working with partners that have that shared idea of success. They want to be best, they want to help us grow the game. I think when we have that mindset in a partnership, that's when we really, the results are as great as they can be. You take a look at, T-Mobile and what we've done with Overwatch League this past season. T-Mobile has been terrific. Last week, Coca-Cola launched their Share with Coke campaign, where you can go online and buy a Coke with an Overwatch team logo on it. I saw a nice little page shout out on that last week.
Yep.
And last week we announced our Kellogg's relationship, and you'll see some cool things happening with streaming at Walmart's that Kellogg's is helping with, and on-pack stuff too. So there's a lot of great things that we look forward to working with on brands.
I just think just to jump on that a little bit too, it's almost like a high school, right? Where it's like, you walk into the high school and you're new there, and it's like, okay, I want to fit in, right? Well, what's the first thing you want to do is find the coolest kids and, scrunch up next to them. And I think a lot of brands are realizing that being able to share a logo lockup with Overwatch League, with Activision Blizzard, the biggest brands in the space, creates an immense amount of instant credibility. And I think that's where, it's an easy way to start because it gives you a conversation topic. Right? It's no longer just, oh, hi, I'm a random brand, I'd like you to buy my product. It's, hey, I'm hanging out here with Overwatch League. You guys want to hang with us? We're cool, right? And that, I think that is really where the key value for the sponsorship side, and why we're seeing blue chip brand after blue chip brand buying into the Overwatch League, because they know that proximity, that relationship is incredibly valuable for them. We're trying to have that conversation with millennials and even some Gen Zs.
Yeah, and I totally agree with what you said about the ability to show that to fans can go such a long way in terms of them buying in and starting to build a relationship with the brand versus just seeing the logo in the broadcast and something on. So.
Yep.
So one thing that, like, when I started in the position I'm in now that I thought was really interesting, this was a couple of years ago, I heard a couple people say that it was easier to sell esports sponsorship if media was packaged into it. And in some cases, there were brands that would only do that because that's what was comfortable and what they knew how to measure, and sponsorship felt risky, so that kind of de-risked the investment. 2 years later, like, what do you guys think? Are you still seeing that? Is it for some brands at all? How have things evolved?
Whoever told you selling media with sponsorship is easier is 100% correct. No, I think it all starts before the pitch. I think, you know, what we just worked on something together too, which I think we're going to talk about. But being able to, sorry, I forgot my foot there. You know, before a pitch, I think when you have media a part of it, and you have, you know, there's CPMs, there's GRPs, there's things that are easier for, I think, a bigger pool of buyers to digest. And so I think we've been, you know, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to do with data and trying to be in that conversation, I think certainly, you know, plays a role and helps.
I think it's hard because I don't want to trivialize media, right? It's very important. We should all buy it.
It's
easy, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to buy spots, I'm going to get that reach, I'm going to hit that target audience. If I have a message that resonates, great. I just, when you look at the incremental success of what a sponsorship media program has, I think that's where we struggle in the space, because what people want is the sponsorship value and the equity. What they're comfortable buying is the media. And that is, I think, where we've really had to work extra hard to kind of make sure that those things are clearly defined, but also we put the premium on the value of the sponsorship so that people understand that it's not the same thing as buying a 30-second spot. The investment, the time, the equity that you're getting out of that is very, very different than, you know, your abilities to run a 30-second spot. A 30-second spot delivers incredible value from an amplification standpoint and awareness, but when you're actually locked in with a brand or an ambassador or a league, like, that has incredible value to it,
yeah.
And it needs to be understood, and it needs to be bought into, and it needs to be something that you actually set yourself up time-wise to be able to succeed at. I think the biggest mistake I see from a lot of brands is, you know, we'll do a deal where there's media and sponsorships, and it's like, okay, cool, so you need what, like 2 or 3 days for the assets? Because, like, that's what we do for traffic and tags for 30-second spots. And it's like, no, we need 6 to 8 weeks. Or we need months to get this program off the ground, to get these things lined up, to get assets put in there. And so it's really important to make sure we separate those things holistically. But, yeah, I think when we can start to put together these packages, and we've had some success with that this year specifically, which I'm really proud of, when we can do that, it's not 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = 5. And I think that's really where we want to get to with brands in the space.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of layer onto what you said about, you know, there being different outcomes and benefits of sponsorship versus media, there's also different ways that you need to measure that, right? So it's kind of those softer KPIs around sponsorship that are really important to be able to drive home.
Okay.
Both your organizations do a great job of that. We'll show some examples later of some results from Overwatch, but that's where kind of the true value of it really shines through. So you just mentioned, you know, being proud of some deals lately where you've been able to kind of package together sponsorship and media to make a great case for our brand. I want you guys to talk a little bit about Comcast. And so they've recently come on as Overwatch League Grand Finals sponsor. And I know that was a collaborative effort, and part of the way that you were able to get them in the door was by doing exactly that, working together and offering a package. So can you guys just kind of talk through what you're able to share about that?
Yeah, it's what Nate said before. I mean, we listen. I think, you know, understanding what his strengths were and our strengths were, to be able to go to Comcast and just understand what they were looking to achieve. You know, we came together with a nice platform. And I think you guys will see a lot of it come finals, which will be on September 29th. It'll air on Twitch as well, ESPN and ABC.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have this internal issue at Twitch as well, because we have a small sponsorships team and a very large media team. And a lot of times we all look at each other as almost like competitors. So like, oh, I got to get this, you got to get this, this is the same budget. I think once we as an industry start realizing that shared success is going to result in a lot more money being spent in the space, because brands are going to be comfortable with, they're going to get the success metrics that they want. That is where we're all going to succeed. I think that was one of the really easy things early on was, you know, we're on calls together, and yeah, it's really difficult when there's basically five sellers on a call with, you know, two agency people and a client, right? That's a zoo. But the fact that we all kept the mindset of this is a partnership, we're in this together, we're in this to be successful together, we know that they absolutely want the media dollars, and we know that they absolutely also have to have the sponsorship dollars, so let's hold firm, let's create the best program together, and let's, you know, hold fast. It's very easy when, you know, a client will come back and go, you know, like, sponsorship guys, like, I don't know if I can afford this stuff, like, what if you just dump it on media? Right, and that's where leadership-wise, and we're very fortunate to have great leaders like Walker Jacobs and Brandon Snow, who are very, you know, they're very friendly with each other, and they're great business partners, and they set the tone of, listen, guys, if we're working together, we're gonna succeed with this together. But again, if anyone saw Matt's presentation yesterday at the Brand Summit, like, he's not always the easiest customer because he knows what he wants, and he wants to get it as most efficient price he can. And for us, that was a really a great challenge to have to work on together. But it's nice when you can actually call someone afterwards and their thought process is, hey, like, let's stay firm on this, right? Let's make sure we loop this in. Or, hey, I actually thought about this. What if we added this value in? That's where really the partnership came together in a strong way, where the brand got to look back and go, wow, I'm not talking to Twitch media sales and Twitch sponsorship sales and Activision Blizzard. I'm talking to this Overwatch League partnership. And I think that was a really great show of force that I want to see happen all the time in the space. Is I want to be talking to brands with one voice and together. I think that was a really great example of how we did that.
Awesome. That's actually a really good segue into jumping into some of the data, because I think another cool part about the partnership between your organizations and you know, now Nielsen as well is how open Twitch has been to kind of allowing and opening up your data, and specifically what we'll talk through here is your consumer fan panel that you maintain to be able to do research on behalf of Overwatch League and their brands to help understand like what that actual impact of sponsorship is. So I'm going to take a few minutes, give you guys a break, to run through some examples of that data. What Nate talked about earlier in terms of the importance of understanding the value of sponsorship beyond just the buy is really what we'll get into here. So I'm going to try not to be super in the weeds, but I at least needed a setup slide so everyone knows what we're talking about here.
So Twitch has an incredible opportunity in the fact that gamers especially are very vocal. Which cuts both ways, but it's really helpful in this particular situation. This is our Twitch RPG group, our research power group, but for those of you who play Zelda RPG, we're cool like that. It's about 55,000 Twitch users that opt in to basically field research, about 38,000 in the US, about 17,000 international. It's something that we're really proud of. We do a lot of surveying uncompensated, and then we do also offer some that are compensated, but it's really incredible to see, you know, the completion rates of a lot of these guys. What they realize is that this is stuff that has a direct effect, right? And we follow up and let people know, hey, your survey has had these effects, and here are the things that we're doing differently.
Yeah, perfect. That's good context. And this particular deck that we'll go through, we focus on data in the U.S., but we've been lucky enough that you guys have opened it up to basically as many markets as we need, which is great. So we basically ran online surveys. This is what we call brand impact research. So the idea is we take a look at Overwatch League viewers, and in the case of this panel, it's fantastic because we can literally go in and identify people who have watched X number of hours, in this case one, of Overwatch League over the past year on Twitch. So we know they're verified viewers, and then tie in all of our survey research to that viewership habit, which is fantastic that we can get that verified audience, which it's hard to find a bunch of young males sitting out on panels that were made for like toilet paper testing, right? So being able to tap into Twitch is fantastic there. So we basically look at viewers of Overwatch League, and you'll see some of the data and questions we go through, and compare them to non-viewers who are also on Twitch. We want to make sure we're looking at kind of like a like sample. So the idea is a dependent variable between the two groups is either you watch Overwatch League or you don't, and then in turn, that helps us to understand how their fans feel about the brands they're partners with in Overwatch League, and how that compares to an audience that is not exposed to the brand partnership. So one thing before jumping into those results that I think is also great is that we can just drill down into simple things like audience that are not necessarily widely available, again, in terms of getting down to number one, the title level, and number two, knowing that these are people who have actually watched Overwatch League. And this is really valuable to your partners, where we can actually come back and say, this is who your audience is. In this case, about 80% of Overwatch League viewers are under the age of 35, so it's verification that they're really hitting that demographic that everyone's trying to find and that is watching TV less and less by the day. All right, so now we'll get into kind of a series of charts that are going to look like this. Basically, just to give a quick rundown so I don't lose people here in the next few minutes, we have four bars. So the first is going to be esports fans who did not watch Overwatch League. The second is our Overwatch League viewers. So the idea is let's look at how viewers are responding to Overwatch League brand partners. So this is, all this data is an average of all of the brand partners that we test for Overwatch League. And see, you know, ideally what the lifts are in terms of a number of different metrics. And then the same thing just in terms of viewers then who are aware of a particular sponsor versus those who are not. So the idea is if they're aware of them as being a sponsor of Overwatch League, they're going to feel differently versus a fan who is not aware of that relationship. And then we just look at the data and find a great story. So in this case, what we're seeing is kind of top of mind when you ask fans in category X, what brands do you think of? So totally open-ended. On average, Overwatch League fans are 13% or 13 points higher likelihood to say, oops, sorry, to just spontaneously mention an Overwatch League partner in their category versus not. So we go then to kind of a pre-listed awareness. You can see number one, super high awareness for a lot of the brands. You guys are working with marquee sponsors, so that makes sense. Some of the biggest and best in their categories, but again, you see that positive impact of the Overwatch League exposure when fans are playing back, whether they're actually aware of these partners or not. Then we start to get into more of the sentiment side of things, which is really kind of the crux of sponsorship and something that, you know, if you're a brand, the idea is over time, this data should get better and better. So you want to get a baseline, and then you want to see the favorability, the positive sentiment as you grow your relationship with an esports property, your team, or whatever it may be. You want to see that increase over time as fans get to know you better and feel closer to you. In this case, again, some good lifts in terms of Overwatch League viewers and those aware of the sponsors. And then at the end of the day, you know, it may be short-term if you're a candy brand, it may be long-term if you're an insurance brand, but you want people to buy more of your product because of the sponsorship. So, we always ask kind of purchase consideration and look at the lift of people just considering the brand in their set for that particular category. And we've seen some great results for all partners there. Bars are a little light there, so I think this is also something that, you know, Nielsen, we work in sponsorship in esports, obviously, but we do a lot of this work in the traditional sports space as well. So one of the things I know has been really valuable for you guys, Anthony, is to be able to have some of this benchmarking to the same types of metrics that we have in traditional sports. So that I'm just showing one example here, I guess two, around just awareness of Overwatch League brand partners. And what we can do is benchmark those awareness scores to all the different brand partners that we've done the same type of research for across all sports. And when we look at that, we can kind of segment it into different sponsorship types. So sport naming right would be like a Barclays Premier League, right, where the actual name of the brand is locked up with the league. A tier one would be a lot of what Overwatch League's partnerships are, so the official car of Overwatch League, something like that. And then we pull in NFL norm as well. So you can see you know, Overwatch League has had some great performance already, just, you know, 2 years in terms of how fans are, you know, how top of mind brand partners are with their fans versus a lot of the norms in traditional sport. All right, and then I'm not going to get into many numbers here, but, you know, recently there's been some press out around some of the work we've been doing with Overwatch League and reporting their audiences and really trying to drive home that average minute audience metric that's becoming more and more common in esports as a way to compare viewership for esports competitions, events, leagues, to traditional sport viewership or really any other form of entertainment or any other linear TV programming. So this is something that we work with the league on and basically create reports. Here's just some stats for the season to date in terms of average minute audience. But we create these to allow you guys to share them with your brand partners, which is really fantastic. Just a way to, number one, be accountable, right, so that they know exactly who's watching, be super transparent. But number two, allow them to really think about what their investment in Overwatch League is in the same way they would any other sport that they're investing their dollars in. And then the last thing I want to point out that I think is really cool and really, in my experience, pretty forward-thinking for Overwatch League is you guys have allowed, both in terms of the viewership and then the brand impact work, you've allowed teams to get in. So basically, you've allowed kind of all these relationships and what you're investing from a data standpoint into the teams where we can run the similar type of research to kind of piggyback on what you're doing, allows them access to the Twitch fan panel, and just, again, kind of creates more data and more data and transparency and accountability across the Overwatch League ecosystem. And I think it's especially cool for, you know, brands like T-Mobile, you mentioned, who they're activating with two different teams and you guys. So now they're getting the same data, and they can really see the 360 view of how being associated with multiple touchpoints within Overwatch League is valuable. All right, let's go back to the panel. So I just talked through a lot of data pretty quickly, and I know it's the last day of the conference, hopefully I didn't lose anyone. How do you guys use this stuff when you're selling, whether it's, you know, media or, you know, in this case, this is very sponsorship specific, but like, how is data helping to drive conversations with the brands that you're either pitching or renewing?
Yeah, I mean, every partner that we're working with, we're providing these reports. I mean, you know the reports well. That was a brief look into what those look like. But the feedback is really positive. You know, we're 2 years in, and we finally have comparable data. And there's more fans that are watching Overwatch, and that's exciting. So to be able to talk to the brands about the two-year investment and how it's making sense for them and how it's working, I think is great. And, you know, that 18 to 34 number is awesome. So continue to tell that story.
Out of curiosity from the room, since we want this to be interactive,
will
Raven and Amanda have enough data to buy or sell these sports successfully?
Yeah.
So this is a problem that we have. Part of that's Twitch. You know, Amazon is very protective of data. And there's a lot that we need to do to help everybody have more ability to sell and more abilities to buy, right? No one gets fired for recommending an NFL partnership, right? No one gets fired for buying linear television. You put your job on the line as a buyer when you say, hey guys, you know what we're doing? Let's not do that. Let's go do this other thing, this gaming thing online, right? All of a sudden now you become a target, right? Okay, you're changing the status quo. We need to be arming our partners to be able to go out there and be successful with that. And that doesn't just mean our internal partners, more importantly, our brand partners. They're putting themselves on the line with senior leadership when they're recommending a change in strategy. And this is a great first step for this. I think that, you know, as we are building this out, we do want people to give us more information, more feedback, right? This is a first step for us. We're doing the best we can with how we can pull data. This is obviously an elusive audience in terms of wanting to share their data. But I think we all win when we start to kind of share these things and work on best practices and put things into that that shared sense of equality. right? And really look at, all right, what are standardized metrics? How can we get people access to those standardized metrics? How can we start putting together packages? And how can we start evaluating our space in a fair way, right? I laughed yesterday when Charlie Chappell from Hershey was doing his presentation, and he was like, yeah, no, I know you have a VC fund valuation of $100 million, but I'm not, your brand isn't worth what I paid the New York Giants. And that might be true, that might not be true. But there isn't any data that actually supports either one. So how do we create the data that helps people sell? How do we create the opportunities to do that? I think this is a great first step. I think it arms us with the ability to go into clients and solve problems and talk about these solutions. But it's certainly the first of many innings, I think, in this space.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. From the company that's providing the data standpoint, there's lots more to build out. So you talked about brands maybe wanting more data when they're making esports investments. Have either of you run across like anything that just feels like something brands ask for specifically in esports that they don't get or don't need to make traditional sports decisions? Like what types of questions are you getting specifically around that, or what are they asking you to prove that might not be the case in traditional sport?
I feel like we're held to the same standards to a certain degree. I mean, just to be able to report back on preference, consideration, and impact, and to show those results in the 2 years that we've been partners with a number of brands is awesome. So I spent 2 years at the NFL prior to Blizzard, and I would kill that. To be able to show somebody reports to some of the clients that
work.
I think the data actually helps. I think esports, more than anything else, have to deal with irrational emotional responses to our pitches, right? Of like, oh, I'm a 55-year-old CMO. Like, I am not the target, but I know better that this is not a thing, right? Like, we deal with a lot of the issues of people who are not the target audience, don't understand it, and therefore it cannot possibly be a valid thing. And so I think the data helps to overcome those things, being able to show them, hey, listen, I know you got your things, but like, 80%, right? 16 to 35, like, this is your sweet spot. This is your audience. This is what you told me, the people you want to reach. The data's right here. And I think that becomes harder and harder to refute. From our perspective, I think the one area I see that brands are asking for more and more is the separation between genres. So is a MOBA fan different from a fighting game fan? Is it different from a Battle Royale fan? Is it different from a trading card game fan? And if you use the analogies of game genres or like sports genres, then yes, there are differences between football fans and other football fans and NBA and all the different genres of sport. So can we start to segment that? Can we find nuances? Are there value in understanding those audiences? I think it's early because gaming and sports is a big industry, but it's not that big an industry. And so when you start to segment, I feel like sometimes brands go down the rabbit hole, like, cool, I'm going to target these five people now that I absolutely have to have. Whereas I think there's a lot of value in being able to get some of those other audiences and game genres.
Yeah, not to jump ahead, but I think that's where we surprise a lot of the brands that we're talking to, is that the data that says, in our reach of these fans with traditional sports. And take it a step further, in our reach of these fans with other esports too, that each sport, each game is a different audience. So. It's exciting to be able to tell us.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in the panel I did yesterday with Brad from TSM. We were talking more on the team side, but it applies on the genre side as well, or even title specific. It's like you wouldn't go out for a pitch deck for NFL and say, here's the profile of sports fans by NFL. You drill down, and in the same way, I think esports needs to start being more nuanced. And I think it's interesting because it is, a fairly homogenous from a demographic standpoint audience, so you may not see a big difference in the average age for, five different titles. But when you start digging down into things like what types of brands they like and why they interact with esports, are they following personalities or not, there's more of like that behavioral and like how they relate to esports and gaming that starts to like really see some clear differences. And I think in a way that's more impactful than differences in demographics because you can actually act on that, right?
And this is why we're moving to AMA. I mean, for Twitch, we genuinely believe that we are a television replacement. Like, people are, it's not that television is bad, it's just that's the platform of the past, right? And Twitch is a platform of the future. you know, beautifully produced 30-second content. It works great on the platform. We're a premium service. Buy content. It's high-value area. But if I have to go there and have a completely different conversation with a television buyer than what they're used to, it doesn't work,
yeah.
Right? And I think that's where, we, you know, again, we go back to the beginning of this conversation. People want the sizzle, right? They want the sponsorships. They want the deep integration. They want all these things. Then they want their spreadsheet to work, right? They want to be able to go back to the boss and say, hey, I bought this. We're moving from this to this, and here's why, and here's how it's simply and easily going to be a better reach against our target audience. That's what I think AMA is helping us do, right? Being able to really compare apples to apples, because early esports was well known for the apples to rocks comparison of like, oh my God, did you know that like this particular esports league reached 100 billion people last month? And that's bigger than like, you know, the NFL. But the problem is that when you go into a room and you throw that data at somebody, they instantly don't believe you. And so you instantly lose all of your credibility in that presentation. So we have to be honest with ourselves about how big our industry is. This is helping to do that. We have value. Everyone's teams and leagues and tournaments, like, they're valued. There's money to be made here. But we have to be realistic with ourselves and setting the standards of where we are right now and monetize based off of that. I think that we're all doing a better job of that now. But I think the data part is going to help us even more.
All right, so last question, and then we'll hand it over for questions. From all the data that you guys use, see, collect on your audience, your fans, what surprised you? Like, what has been like, I didn't know that that was something either great about our audience or something that we need to consider, or, you know, something that's been able to kind of have, allow you to go to brands and say, this is why we're unique.
I mean, for me, the data point that I always find really interesting is the ad transparency, like ad acceptability thing. Everyone thinks of millennials and Gen Z as anti-advertising, and they don't like brands, and they don't want to be interrupted. And then all the data says that they love it, as long as it's transparent. If I know that they're a sponsor, I know they're financially supporting my favorite league, my favorite broadcaster, my favorite whatever, they love it. I think it's a bit unique on Twitch, because I definitely see things on other platforms where you see hashtag sellout a lot. But specifically on Twitch, we seem to notice that there is a genuine excitement, because you financially support your favorite league, right? You buy a battle pass in Overwatch League, you're supporting the league, you're supporting your favorite teams. When a brand does that, it's that same sense of, oh my gosh, like, oh, you support them too? Like, we're actually closer now. That's the stat that always astounds me, is the fact that when Twitch users know that it's advertising, they're actually more excited about it than if you try to sneak it by.
Yeah, I always say, like, the demographic's great, income is above average, but like, esports fans are also smart. They get it. They get the business of it, and they get that they're going to get better quality content when brands are involved.
Cool. I mean, I'd go back to what I said earlier.
Yes.
Just the data that, you know, you're not seeing the traditional sport, you're seeing these audiences. I think I continue to tell that story, and it's a good one.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's turn it to the audience for questions. Yeah?
Yeah. We need your audience poll. It seems that they would ever love to have the data that you guys have. For the smaller players in the industry, how do you recommend authentically collecting data in this consumer base that's not all that interested in giving up that?
So I can start. You guys talked, you know, recommendations. So, I mean, we work with clients kind of across the spectrum, big, small, and there's a number of different ways you can kind of go down the path. You know, one is I feel like sometimes people are oversensitive to, like, actually talking to fans in a quantitative way, and lots of people will throw polls out or send, like, little email surveys here and there. But going back to what Nate said, like, fans actually care about giving feedback, and they want things to be done in the right way. So you'd be surprised at the positive response we get when we work with like smaller players who have a CRM and we're able to serve up a survey directly through them. They really support that and will give honest feedback. We also do a lot of like syndicated research that is at an industry level where you can get down to things like, okay, this is the audience of this particular title. It all kind of sits. It's cheap because it's kind of like paid for across a number of different clients, and it helps to give some data. Like, my recommendation is you can't go in with a this is the general esports fan slide anymore because you're not going to get the dollars that your property deserves. So it's finding, you know, the most cost-efficient way for your organization to kind of get a little bit further down that funnel and give a little better view of the audience that you're speaking to that can go a really long way.
Yeah, I would just add that I know, you know, for a lot of people it's very difficult to just buy something through research right off the bat. What I think is a great way to show a brand and partner that you're serious is say, hey, how can we bake in some data into our, so how, maybe we can add in some studies into this program. Maybe we can add in some other research studies into the program. I think a lot of folks think about the sale, and they don't think about how they're going to get the renewal. And the renewal is going to be the data that shows they did a good job. So if you use that and you start with, hey, you know, we don't have any syndicated research. However, I would love to put part of our program against being able to access that and be able to track it somehow. I think you find that a lot of brands would be very, very interested in that. And then you might be able to reuse that data to then talk to other folks in the space. So I think just that openness to do it, I think is a really important part of having a conversation with the brand.
Yeah, you nailed that. We've done that with each of our partnerships. We'll have the ability to weave that in, whether it's a survey or it's a brand level, whatever it is. I think you make sure, you know, we're asking our brands before the season starts, during the season, after the season. It's just a tremendous to report back to those at that.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to a panel yesterday at the Gillette panel where, you know, it was said that, you know, I'm the biggest spender of advertising in the space, and I have trouble finding an 18 to 34 demo. And so when you look at some of the numbers that we're seeing on the 18 to 34, where we're already in the conversation 2 years in with traditional sports like the MLS and hockey, I believe, too. You know, the same amount of people that are watching those games and that demo are coming to Twitch, ESPN, ABC to watch Overwatch games. So I feel like that, you know, certainly is.
Much the quality.
Yeah.
Type of audience as it is, just pure reach.
Yeah, I think Matt said it very well yesterday of being unique and being valuable in different ways. So scale doesn't always matter. I think price to size matters a lot. You are asking brands, though, to at a certain point, like, add another contract to the paperwork list or adding another IO or another vendor to their list is difficult. That's where I think there's opportunities to partner up. Again, we've had situations with smaller tournament operators and stuff like that. We've had brands come to Twitch and say, hey, we want to package up a deal. We'd like to also include this, you know, smaller tournament we feel really passionate about. It only has 15,000 people to go to it. Is there a way for us to package this into a larger Twitch partnership? And we've actually seen some really good success there as well for brands to get more opportunities and for smaller partners to get bigger brand opportunities.
Okay, let's give a big hand.
Thank you to all our speakers. Really appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you.